If you want to go from intense anxiety to absolute peace right now about the future coming of the Antichrist, then you need to listen to the incredible words from the mystic Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich and Doctor of the Church, Saint Hildegard of Bingen. In these words, they reveal to us the two crystal clear signs that will precede the future coming of the Antichrist. And contrary to how others are preparing for this, they give us the two essential things that we need to be doing in our life. If you'd like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Let's get right into it. Now, Saint Hildegard of Bingen is a German mystic and doctor of the church from the 1100s. Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich is a German mystic from the 1800s. Listen to what they have to say. The fathers of the church tell us that paradise still exists in all its first beauty, untouched by the waters of the deluge. Here, Enoch and Elijah were transported to await the coming of Antichrist, at which time they will reappear upon earth to announce to the Jews the word of salvation. Now, there's a lot to unpack just in those phrases. And what's amazing is it gives us two crystal clear signs so that we know the Antichrist is here. Now, it speaks of in the book of Revelation of these two witnesses. Book of Revelation 11:3, "And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy." Now, when we read that, we take that metaphorically or spiritually for these mysterious two witnesses that somehow will prophesy at the end of time. Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich is not so metaphorical. She takes a lot of these literally, and she quotes Saint Hildegard as saying that they will literally appear. They will come out of Eden mystically to preach to the Jews and as a sign that the Antichrist is here. Now, what's all this about the Garden of Eden? She will explain in the following words what she's talking about, and we will unpack this mystery. Now, please note that these visions that she had them nearly 250 years ago. So just because this is new to you does not mean that this is new. In fact, after her death, her writings became quite popular. So these types of things would have been common knowledge in the church at the time. However, our modern church is completely ignorant about these types of mystical realities. Let's continue to hear what she says. Saint Hildegard says, "Enoch and Elijah are in paradise, where they have no need of corporal food. And in like manner, a soul wrapped in the contemplation of God has no necessity while in that state of those things of which mortals make use. The terrestrial paradise," which is another name for the Garden of Eden, "was not created for pure spirits, but for man composed of soul and body. Consequently, it is provided with whatever is requisite not only for his sustenance, but also for his safeguard against sickness and death, by virtue of the state of original justice in which he was first created. The creatures of this magnificent abode, its animals and plants, belong to a higher order." Let's stop right here. So first of all, the Garden of Eden still exists. It was not destroyed. We simply do not have access to it in the same way. And she's saying here that the animals and plants that exist there, it's either the case that they're different or they're the same as the ones here, but of a higher order, more magnificent, more beautiful. Now think about this. In some ways, in the human psyche, we see this in our books, we see this in our movies. We want to believe that there's this crazy world out there, this mystical place where there's these mystical creatures. It's real. That inner prompting in our own mind and hearts, it exists. It's real. It's not a fantasy. It's just we don't have access to it. Let's continue hearing. "The creatures of this magnificent abode, its animals and plants belong to a higher order, as much elevated above those of earth as the body of Adam before his sin was superior to his fallen posterity. And as that body of Adam was a real body of flesh and blood, not pure spirit, so too, paradise is not a celestial or purely spiritual region, but a material place connected with human nature and with the earth itself. Eden is still connected to earth. She's going to talk about what it does and how we access it. This relation between the earth and paradise is clearly indicated in the Holy Scriptures for those that have wisdom to see it. The manna in the desert revealed to the children of the Old Law the food prepared for man during his earthly pilgrimage. St. Hildegard says on this subject in her Scivias. Scivias is a mystical book that she wrote. It's over 500 pages long. You can actually have access to it through, I believe it's, the website is internetarchive.org. You can get free access to the book. You can take a loan out for it. It's otherwise costs around $35 if you want to purchase it. She there writes many of her incredible visions that we have lost, and she reveals many mysteries, such as what Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich is revealing right here. Let's keep reading. She says this: when Adam and Eve were expelled from paradise, a wall of light was raised around it, and the divine power effaced from it all marks of their sin. It was fortified, as it were, by this great light so that no enemy could reach it. But by this, God also testified that the transgression which had taken place in paradise should in time be effaced by his mercy. Paradise still exists, a region of joy, blooming in all its pristine loveliness and imparting abundant fruitfulness to the sterile earth. So where does the blooming fruitfulness from the earth come from? Not from earth, but from paradise. Later on, she'll say paradise is like the soul to the body. Let's keep listening. As the soul communicates life and strength to the body it inhabits, so the earth receives from paradise her supreme vitality. The darkness and corruption of sin which shroud this miserable world cannot entirely check its beneficent influence. Man's spiritual bond with paradise is the grace of redemption, which not only restored him the high gifts possessed by Adam in that abode, but conferred on him, besides that, superior beauty, dignity, and worth which emanate from the precious blood of Christ. So she's just about to talk about how the graces that we receive from our faith, in some sense, elevate us higher than paradise, but it also gives us a certain access to it. Listen to what she has to say. By virtue of baptismal innocence, something which many of us don't really understand enough of, the graces that flow from baptism, listen, God in every age bestows upon certain chosen souls many of those privileges which Adam received by virtue of original justice. What were the privileges that Adam received? Look at the saints. The original Adam and the original Eve had all of the gifts that any of your favorite saints had. Let's name some of them: healing, bilocation, mystical knowledge, incredible wisdom, not needing to eat anything, incredible beauty, levitation. They had it. He had it. The saints had it. So did he. That was part of original justice. He really was created in the image and likeness of God, not just in this way, but in every way. And his body, even as she says before, was of a higher order. Isn't that amazing? I don't like the order of my body. I wish it was of a higher order. Well, that desire that we have in our heart to be more beautiful, to be more godly, it's there because that's how we were originally. And this reveals the mystical ways in which that is true. Let's keep listening. Baptism confers a certain right. Did you hear that? To those extraordinary gifts, for its innocence is superior to that of paradise. St. Hildegard wrote to the Cathedral Chapter of Mainz. Mainz is a city in Germany. I probably pronounced that wrong. God, who by the light of truth leads on his elect to beatitude, has been pleased at various epochs to renew the spirit of faith among them by the gift of prophecy, by its illumination, that they may in a measure recover the happiness possessed by Adam before his fall. So it is the will of God for us to have restored to us some and many of those gifts. That's why we see the saints as having these privileges. It is God's will for that to happen. And what is the effect of those saints having those gifts? What do? They heal people. They convert people. They bring people to faith. So those gifts have a purpose. It's not just for show. It's not just some sort of vain thing. They affect change in the lives of other people. In other words, we need to want those gifts. That's why the church hardly converts anyone or with much difficulty, because we have no real proof to the outside world. Whereas if we had those gifts, we would have incredible proof. How do we obtain them? She's about to answer. Listen to this. It is not a matter of surprise then that not only the spiritual, but also the material favors of paradise. What are the material favors of paradise? She's going to talk about those later, but keep your ear open and listen. It is not a matter of surprise then that not only the spiritual, but also the material favors of paradise should be bestowed upon God's chosen ones. Okay, who are God's chosen ones? Look in the mirror. You, not only are we Christian, different from the rest of humanity, not only amongst Christians are we Catholic, different from the rest of humanity, not only Catholic, but practicing, not only practicing, but devout. So who are the chosen ones of God? Unfortunately, you and I, except we'll often say, no, it's not me. It's someone else really far away, hidden in a mountain monastery somewhere. No, it's you and I. So God is willing you and I to know this, to put what it's about to tell us into practice. Listen, should be bestowed upon God's chosen ones as a recompense for their fidelity. But such gifts are merited by sufferings and privations. Let me read this part again. It is not a matter of surprise then that not only the spiritual but also the material favors of paradise should be bestowed upon God's chosen ones as a recompense for their fidelity. But such gifts are merited by sufferings and privations. So these are the two things that we need to do in preparation for the coming of the future Antichrist. Now, think about this. The way that the world or many Protestants prepare for the future, for whatever they read about in the book of Revelation, how do they do it? They do it by the exact opposite, by comfort and by storing up. If you've never watched this show, it's an incredible show on National Geographic called Doomsday Preppers. And what do? They go to all types of different preppers, people that are preparing for the future second coming and stuff like that and the end of the world, these types of things. And they always look at what they do. They look at their food, their medicine, their security, kind of their infrastructure, and they're always able to find holes in their system. Think about this, because no matter how much food you have, after a while, you're going to run out. No matter how much security you have, there's going to be something that you're not seeing where you're going to have kind of a break in your fence, so to speak. So it doesn't matter how much you prepare materially in an earthly way, one of your resources will always run out. So anxious storing is going to do nothing for you in the future. And if whatever we kind of hear and know about this Antichrist, that they're going to take over governmental powers, they will control the food, the electricity, and the security. So there's nothing that we can do on an earthly level. We can, however, as Jesus says, not store up earthly treasures, but store up treasures in heaven, or a different way of saying it is storing up heavenly treasures. Isn't it amazing that we need to do the exact opposite of what they do? Instead of being in comfort and storing up a bunch of junk, she's saying here, store up pain and deprive yourself of things, because these will obtain for you treasures from Eden, which will never run out, treasures from this terrestrial paradise, and these spiritual gifts will produce in you such fruit that you will have everything that you need no matter what happens. Think of the case of Padre Pio. He didn't even need to eat. So if you receive the mystical gift of not eating, will you ever run out of food? No, you will need hardly anything except perhaps the Eucharist. Pretty mind-blowing. Let's keep reading. Man, even while living in the flesh, is conducted to paradise, and its fruits are brought to him by pain and self-renunciation, and by the good works performed by souls in the splendor of unsullied innocence. So we need to keep our innocence about us. The way to these heights is absolute self-denial, open only to those who have been, as it were, spiritualized in the fire of affliction. So it's for this reason, for instance, that our devotion to the souls in purgatory is so important, because not only are we being Christ to them, but they are telling us all the time, the way to heaven is through purgatory. Make a choice. Suffer purgatory after you die or before. If we choose to suffer purgatory before pain and privations, we will receive gifts from the terrestrial paradise. Later on, she's going to give an example of them. Let me read that to you right now. It is related of Saint Lidwina, the great saint and gem of the Dutch. An incredible saint, a life of total pain and privation. Let's hear what happened to her. That once a woman very virtuous, but a prey to the deepest melancholy, came to implore her help. Lidwina received her with kind words and promised her relief. Some days later, the poor sufferer was admitted with Lidwina herself to the earthly paradise, a favor obtained by Lidwina's prayers. But in spite of the wonders she beheld on all sides, the poor woman ceased not to lament and weep. Then Lidwina led her to a certain locality, which seemed to serve as the storehouse of the whole world. Here were perfumes, health-giving spices, and healing herbs, and here the poor sufferer was finally cured and so inundated with celestial consolations that for several days after she could not support even the smell of food. As a reward for her docility to Lidwina's advice and directions, her melancholy entirely disappeared. Many of you are suffering. The cures for all of the things we have are in Eden, which still exists. If that's not mind-blowing, then I don't know what is. Here's another story that you can, in fact, verify by searching it. This happened to Saint Colette, one of the great reformers of the Franciscans. In the life of Saint Colette, contemporary with Blessed Lidwina, it is related that during the whole of Lent, she abstained from food, excepting perhaps a few crumbs of bread. Colette entertained the deepest reverence for holy relics, and above all for the cross upon which our Savior died. And as she ardently longed for a little piece of it, her desire was miraculously gratified. A small golden cross, not made by hand of man, but a natural production containing a particle of the true cross, was brought her from the Garden of Paradise, and Colette ever after carried it on her person. You can actually find the story of Saint Colette and the miraculous golden cross. Now, in the stories that you find, it'll say it came from heaven, but Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich clarifies and says, no, it was heavenly of origin, but it came through the terrestrial paradise. My friends, it will be absolutely clear when the Antichrist is here. Enoch and Elijah will come out of Eden, and that sign itself will be astounding, and they will convert the Jews, a second sign that will be absolutely clear. We need to prepare for that, not by storing up junk, but by privation and pain, so that we can obtain spiritual gifts from God from Eden. At this point, I want to give a shout out to one of the sponsors of this channel. First, the website purgatoryproject.org, where you can register your deceased loved ones so that you and others can pray for them, as well as the ones already registered. You can pray for them. A beautiful work, a beautiful website. Check it out right here. As well as the Rosary Experience app on iOS or Android. They have thousands of materials and videos to help you focus when you pray the Rosary. Praying the Rosary can be difficult and at times distracting. This application helps that make it a more beautiful process for you. My friends, thank you for joining. Subscribe and like. I'll see you in the next one.